No, they're at the MI5 level.
See, that's what I was thinking. You know, they got armed guards. Unit. That's what Unit's doing now. They're guarding Lemon.
Double O Lemon.
Double O Lemon.
Moo.
He's not French. If he was French, it would be Lemu. Lemu. No.
That's got to be Gidget. Oh, of course.
Have you noticed how the two things he brought up were Vaseline and Kleenex?
Kleenex. The two things he always has in hard
things. Am I recording? Yes, I am. Damn it.
All you can hear is bang, crack. Oh, shit.
And there's usually a lot of drinking involved. So many gay men I know have their straight voice, and Dale not only has a straight voice, he has an American voice.
It's mine, apparently. So, boy.
I love you, Dale.
Oh.
Didn't he used to narrate?
He used to marinate, I think.
Yeah, that was great.
But there are some spooky parts.
Spooky spots. Layla, your dog is spooky. Did you hear that?
I heard that.
Queen Mary just docked.
You're listening to the Happiness Patrol.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Happiness Patrol again. We are
Hello,
your host.
Everybody.
I am your host,
Thanks
Lewis.
For tuning in.
Lewis B., and we've got Dale W. from across the pond. Hello, Dale.
Who's that, then? Is it time for my bed yet?
We'll get the grapes in there soon, Dale. Also from Utah, we have the lovely Miss Leela S. Hello, Leela.
Hello.
So what's going
on,
Leela?
Leela S. Hello.
Hello, Dale.
There we go.
And from New Mexico, Albuquerque, as Dale would say, hello, Tar W.
Hello.
The scarf.
Hello, Tara W.
Hello, Dale.
Oh, there you go. And all the way from Florida thing is Lewis. Hello, yes. Lewis.
Hello, Dale. Your grapes are on the way, I've heard.
That's lovely.
So sit back and relax today, kids, because we've got a nice little episode for you. Once again, we always try to please. Ooh, we're going to talk about scary monsters today. So, scary monsters of Doctor Who. You know, they say that Doctor Who has the scariest monsters of all time, but we're gonna put that to the test right here on the Happiness Patrol.
Who the fuck says that?
Lewis just did. Were you not listening?
He said they say. Okay.
Yeah, but Lewis has got multiple personalities.
Oh.
And the Happiness Patrol starts right now. A lot of people talk about Doctor Who as the show that you watch from behind the sofa. And today on the Happiness Patrol, we decided to actually put that to the test and talk about scary monsters on Doctor Who. Now, there have been a whole lot of monsters on Doctor Who. And there's been a whole lot of not very scary monsters. But there have been a few that will give you the willies. Excluding any companions. Thank you, Dale. Dodo Chaplet. I thought we were beyond Dodo Chaplet.
Never be beyond Dodo Chaplet. Never be over Casa Grande, and we'll never be beyond Dodo Chaplet.
Oh, so anyway, we thought we'd put our collective heads together and say, you know what? Who are your scariest monsters? Who are the scariest monsters that you know of on Doctor Who? So, and we also encourage you listeners to, email us, let us know, because we're always open to your comments here. So Dale.
Yes.
I'm going to start with you, my friend.
No, you're not. You're going to start with Leela.
Am I?
Yeah.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew it was coming.
Maybe I should say, who wants to go first?
No, he doesn't. That's why I said that.
Everybody
takes a big, giant step backwards, leaving Lewis standing in his chair.
And I'm left standing there looking around going, where did everybody go?
Ah, ba-da, 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 ba-da.
Oh, we do love you, Leela. Mostly because you're gullible, but partly because you're lovely.
Golly. That sounds like somebody describing me. Bum, bum, bum. Minus the lovely part. Yes. So anyway, Leela, monsters on Doctor Who. Now, do you consider Doctor Who a quote-unquote scary kind of show?
I don't know. I mean, you know, there's definitely monsters that kind of freak me out, like the Weeping Angels. And I know that if I was watching the show as a kid, I would be totally freaked out by some of these things that they show, which is what makes it fun, I think.
Uh-huh.
So,
Which one? Okay, so Weeping Angels. Weeping Angels do it for you, huh?
Oh, yeah. I think the Weeping Angels and the thing in Midnight and the Vashta Narada, because those are all things that you know are there, but you can't see.
Right.
Or like, you can see the Weeping Angels, but you never see them move. And so it's that, you know, you can't ever look away at them kind of a thing. And you know they're there, but you can't see them. And, you know, the Vashta Narada give every kid a reason to be scared of the dark.
Uh-huh.
And so all of a sudden we actually have a reason. It's not the irrational fear of it anymore.
So what you're saying is the boogeyman effect.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's the what?
The boogeyman. The boogeyman. How do they pronounce it in England, Dale? Are you going to correct me?
I have no idea. The boogeyman.
You've never heard of the boogeyman?
Of course I've heard of the boogeyman. I'm winding you up. Get on with it.
So anyway, the boogeyman effect is what you're saying. Now, I think things that are more, I don't know, primal, I guess is the word I'm looking for, will scare you the most, because you've heard about it. You've heard tales about it before, and now you're watching it in your show that you like to watch. You're seeing something that relates to something that you've heard about that, hey, look out, this will get you in the dark or whatever. Do you think that's the biggest thing there?
Have you noticed the common factor with everything that Leela's just brought up, though?
Yes, I have. They're all new series.
Stephen Moffat. That man knows kids' fear. I mean, for God's sake.
He does.
He makes a crack in the wall frightening.
Yep.
How many kids have got a crack in their bedroom wall?
Yeah, and that's the other thing is making all these objects that you see every day and all the time, suddenly you question them and you wonder what it is.
Mm. Well, you got to give props then to Phil Ford for making water scary.
Oh, of course.
Oh, what's the motto? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Thank you, Phil.
Yes, thank you.
So, Leela, so the Weeping Angels, that's your biggest fear, or your scariest monster in Doctor Who?
Probably, yes.
Now, what about Classic Who? Anything in Classic Who gets you?
Nothing in Classic Who has really gotten me.
Uh-huh.
You know, I haven't watched a ton of Classic Who,
uh-huh,
but one of the things I love about New Who is that they're bringing all of these classic monsters. You know, of course, you've got the Daleks and the Cybermen, and then you've got like things like the Silurians and the Autons that they're bringing back. So the next generation of Doctor Who fans get to experience those classic monsters.
Yeah, and they're always redone and done a lot better. So
sometimes I think it's hard for New Who fans who get to see all these amazing effects and these high budget episodes and try to go back and watch classic episodes. I can totally go back and watch Classic Who and appreciate it for what it is, but I feel a lot of New Who fans can't.
Because the audience is more sophisticated, you think? Kids are more, they've grown up with CGI.
They've grown up with CGI and seeing all these special effects and things, and mm-hmm, I think sometimes it's going to be hard for them to go back and watch
mm-hmm
things that were so low budget. And so being able to introduce them to all these classic monsters that old Who fans grew up with is kind of nice.
So Tara, what do you think scary monsters for you? What did it for you?
Well, I'm completely with Leela in the Vashta Narada. Not quite so frightened of the Weeping Angels, because, you know, I've broken enough statuary in my time to not be frightened of statuary. But
kicked over. Well done.
There you go. Sorry. Gee, its head rolled across the floor. Damn. That sucks.
Oh, Tara, I love you.
See, I'm afraid when that guy was grabbed by the Weeping Angel and they had the big scene, which was a very, very effective scene, don't get me wrong, but I'm sorry, if I was in the clutches of a Weeping Angel, okay, you're going to die, there's no other way out, I'd have tipped the fucker over. What's the worst thing that's going to happen? Okay?
You fall down.
Okay, so Vashti Narada, I do find very frightening. Yes, yes, yes. But as far as classic Who monsters, now, they're absolutely shite. They look absolutely shite. They're one of the worst looking monsters on Doctor Who. But at the time, I used to have an absolute terror of wasps. So the wherein used to absolutely freak the fuck out of me, the fact that something would touch you and then you would be completely taken over and you turn into a big giant wasp. Not my favorite topic in the whole wide world. I mean, that's one of my favorite classic Who episodes. Yes, it's shite. Yes, the sets are crap.
I mean, the wherein, they look beautiful. I mean, they're so well done, and until they move, and then they're not terribly good at all because they're hopping on their arses, which I think is
exactly
hilarious. But
when they should be walking on their little legs, which are just sort of dangling
that
there.
Scene at the beginning when he opens the cupboard and this damn thing falls on him.
Oh, it's
like,
fabulous!
Jesus Christ.
Fabulous!
It looks beautiful as well.
Yeah. So my classic monster. Now, the other thing I want to talk about is that I was never, ever frightened of the Daleks. Never, ever frightened of the Daleks until the new series when our buddy Rob Shearman made them fucking petrified. And I went up to him and said, I'd like to congratulate you as the man who've made Daleks frightening again. Because they, you know, over the years, they kind of become a joke, you know?
Absolutely.
Even the first Doctor got away from the Daleks by ducking under the eye stalk. I mean, yeah, let's get behind them and push them. Whee! You know, let's run up a flight of stairs. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah, okay, so they made them a little bit less scary. They started being able to go upstairs, which made them slightly more frightening. But I never really found them frightening because I always thought, you know, I'd do what Wilf did in that one episode. I just get a fucking paintball gun and shoot him in the eye. Then they can't fucking see me. I can do whatever I want, sucker.
Yeah, it worked, did it?
Well, that was, again, God love you, Robert Shearman. Because Robert Shearman made the Daleks fucking terrifying again. He introduced that whole rotating center section. He made them fucking petrifying. Yeah. I'm very, very worried now about the new Teletubby Daleks, the eye Daleks.
They're going to get wiped out because the reaction to them has been so intensely negative. And then he backpedals and said, no, we haven't got rid of all the old Daleks, it's just those little bunch that were wiped out. And I'm thinking, excuse me, you said you had. So he's already said that the old ones are coming back.
Well, bright colored ones don't look scary.
Yeah, and literally they'll just glide onto screen, wipe out the new ones, and you know, we'll be back to another brand of them. I was actually doing a Dalek event in one the weekend that aired. And on the Saturday daytime before Dalek aired, the kids thought the Daleks were an absolute joke. Yeah, absolutely right. You know, they were things to be laughed at, kicked, poked, and all the rest of it.
I'd find it.
But on the Sunday, not one child would come near us.
Yeah, because you're petrified to touch them.
Because they were scary again. That's a good thing.
And the plunger had gone from being a thing to unblock the toilet to a thing that can hoover your face off.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Robert Shearman. After fucking 40 years of people laughing about that plunger, suddenly that fucker is scary.
Hmm. Yeah,
you know?
It was such a difference in one evening. And we all remarked, because we all watched it, we all thought it was a great story. And then the next morning, it all got into the Daleks thinking we're going to get besieged today. Not one kid would dare come near it. And if you went after them, they ran screaming.
Exactly.
So Daleks scare you? Is that what you're saying, Tara?
A 1,000 bright red Daleks coming towards me just makes me want to giggle. It doesn't.
But they were that brightly coloured in the films in the 60s.
And the TV movies, yes, yeah.
There's a scene in 2150 AD, yeah, the film version, which they didn't have the budget for on the TV version, and there's the guy who escapes and kind of goes through the awning and literally he's surrounded by what, 8 Daleks, and they all literally it's a singular massacre. They turn from the first movie where they only kill one person by going at them, to liberal massacres in the second film, because the Daleks turn really nasty. And if you actually think about the not necessarily the execution of it, but if you think about the concept behind this it becomes a frightening concept.
Just being frightened by the reputation of the Daleks, you know, but they're just you're in a building and there may be one right around the corner is a very frightening concept if it's done suspensefully enough, you know. It can really be frightening, I think. So, but colors, you know, basic, big, bright, primary color Daleks. I don't know. I don't think so. It just doesn't do it because, you know, when you think of like when you're 1 year old, the things that you play with are big, bright, colorful objects. So, you know, to sort of grab your... I mean, to be afraid of.
I don't know. I was just going to say that we've seen a red Dalek before in Stolen Earth and Journey's End that was bright red. But the design was of the of the older, new ones.
The iron sides, are they now? Yeah.
Yeah, the iron side design. And it was... I was still okay with it. I thought it was still a generally freaky, you know, scary Dalek. But I think the new design plus the bright colors is... made it less so.
They look like Weebles. I'm sorry, they really, really do.
Yeah, it is kind of
funny. It's the only Dalek that'll wobble but won't fall down.
You know, it's funny though too. Like, you'll understand this completely, Tara. Like, and like snakes, like coral snakes or king snakes. You know, a lot of these animals and plants have like bright colors on them
to warn you
off, and that's why, like, what is it?
That's why a wasp is red and is yellow and black.
Yeah,
because it's a warning that it tastes bad and it is, you know,
going to fuck you up.
Right. So yeah. Birds can see this, and other predatory animals can see this. That might, you know, and so it's a natural defense mechanism. So what do you think? You think Stephen Moffat might have said like, oh, well, let's do these bright colors on the Daleks to say, these are warnings.
I suspect Stephen Moffat went, I'm going to make a shitload of money.
Probably. You're probably right. Okay.
So I'm going to do them in bright primary colors, and I'm going to sell that many more of them because
old babies. Because they like bright colors, and I know I do. So, Dale, while we're on the subject, why don't you tell us which one of those classics?
Firstly, I literally, the Vashtinirada, they don't worry me at all. Because literally, they're like, oh, look, it's a thing of Vashtinirada. That's all right. I've got a Dyson. You just hoover them straight out of the air.
And I've got a chicken leg. I just throw the chicken leg in and run the other way. There you go.
They're out of the way. I mean, fantastic. are you serious? I mean, Daleks don't scare me. Mostly because of what I've done.
As a Dalek.
Yeah, exactly. I like being the one scaring other people. I can see why they are scary. I think the concept of a Dalek is, frankly, terrifying. Literally a the third Doctor called it? A living, bubbling lump of hate.
Yeah.
Just the thought of this thing just hates everything. It's totally xenophobic and has the means to destroy you is a terrifying idea. I'm more worried about Cybermen. They don't scare me, but I'm not, you know, but the concept of them is more worrying because it's something that could happen as more cybernetic implants get further and further and further and further on. Who's to say that you don't end up with a brain in a metal suit with no emotions? I mean, that's plausible. I mean, the first ones that actually scare me, literally going Doctor Who chronology-wise rather than my personal timeline-wise, the ones that scare me first are the Yeti. Because there is something, if you can, it does require a complete suspension of disbelief, but then if you're watching The Web of Fear Part 1, I can find it insanely easy to suspend my disbelief that this robot thing that looks like a Yeti can do this. And by the end of episode 1 of Web of Fear, which is sadly the only one that exists these days, I'm a wreck. I'm usually hiding behind a cushion. It's really, literally, the whole concept of this damn thing is monstrously worrying. And the fact this bloody great thing's lumbering around with a web gun that we can just shoot and paralyze everything. It can even paralyze the TARDIS, you know, the most powerful time and space machine ever. That's a worrying thing. So they terrified me. I don't like the Yeti. Although, if you've ever been up to one close, apparently they ming. They look revolting, and they stink to high heaven. I am.
that's what I heard.
So tell me this, Dale, out of curiosity, how old were you when you first saw Web of Fear?
I saw it about 10 years ago.
Ten years. So not terribly old.
No. I've never seen the Web of Fear. And then BBC 4 did an underground night, you know, all about London Underground. And as part of it, they showed Web of Fear 1. And I'd never seen it. And I sat down with a cup of tea and thinking, you know, quite leaning forward on the sofa, watching the tellers again. I'm quite enjoying this. And at the end of 25 minutes, and comes in, and my brain suddenly clicked in with, check how you're sitting. And I looked up, and I'd abandoned my tea onto the floor. My feet were now curled up under me, and I was actually hiding behind a cushion.
Oh, wow.
Because I'd gotten so into the story, and it was so beautifully
conditioning.
Done. With conviction. Patrick Houghton's doctorate is so brilliantly believable.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
you really get caught up in the story.
I just saw Web of Fear like maybe 3 weeks ago for the first time. I was going through this kick of watching the Lost episodes on DVD. I've been getting them through Netflix, and I saw Web of Fear, and boy oh boy, because you know I'd heard all this stuff about the Yeti, and I thought, well, I need to see this, right? I need to see what the hell's going on. And when I saw it, I was like, ooh, that's kind of yeah, that's spooky.
My first ever running into a Yeti was in a comic strip in Doctor Who Weekly when I was quite young. But even there, they looked horribly monstrous. And they had these web gun things. So I was, from Doctor Who Weekly, I was slightly suspicious of them. I'm not sure I would trust these things. And then you see that and you're just like, ooh, okay. So that's the first one that worried me. Giant maggots freak me out. I can't stand maggots. Maggots are vile, vile creatures. Uh-huh. That necessary, you know, because everything needs to pupate, etc. But so the giant maggots came. I mean, frankly, they look a little bit ridiculous. But the thought of a maggot that large coming after you, is a bit worrying.
Oh yeah, yeah. So those would be your scariest, Dale, you think?
No.
Uh-oh.
I mean, literally, there's lots that I've found frightening over the years. The first thing I ever found frightening per se was when I was little, I had a thing about faces. If I couldn't see somebody's face, I got frightened. Mm-hmm. So I watched The Android Invasion. And at the end of episode, is it 2 or 3, where Sarah's face falls off because it's not the real Sarah?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Episode 2.
I was about 2 or 3, and it was truly terrifying. I remember screaming my lungs out.
Oh my gosh.
Because somebody's face had fallen off, and you could see their eyes, but they had no face anymore. Uh-huh. And similarly with The Mask of Mandragora, the end of episode 3, Hieronymus takes the mask off, and there is no face, it's a ball of fire.
Yeah.
That, literally, they are burned into my memory as being absolutely, solidly terrifying. And Zygons. Uh-huh. I remember seeing a Zygon on telly screaming my lungs out and trying to hide behind my dad, who was sitting in an armchair at the time. I don't care, I'll get behind you. And I was I still have an inbuilt fear of Zygons that will not go away.
Mm.
And it's not because they are specifically scary. It's because the minute I see one, I'm 3... My dad's knee, and absolutely freaking terrified.
So basically, it is. You're right, Tara. I mean, the age that you first see, this monster.
And I mean, a lot of the monsters that scare the hell out of Dale don't scare the hell out of me because, you know, I've been on a ranch for so long.
Uh-huh.
You know, I've seen enough maggots. Okay, yeah, it's maggots. Ooh, yeah, just give me a shovel. Yeah, if they're huge, so what? Fuck, you know.
So speaking about the monsters, Midnight, the monster in Midnight is the spookiest to me because you don't see him. You don't see him.
Somebody did.
But they're not talking. The story itself was so suspenseful and so scary. and so well done. I mean, the entire episode, it was just such a jewel of an episode. But the monster itself was so damn scary because you didn't know what it was. You didn't see it. And it inhabits our hero. And you're really, like, not sure if things are going to work out right because it really does look like, what the hell's happening here? And it was just scary. It was very, very scary, and something very primal also about the unknown, fear of the unknown, fear of the dark, you know, fear of something that can live in some place where there's nothing is supposed to be alive. So,
but it didn't get dark once. Not once were they in the dark.
Well, the planet Midnight. It's like constantly dark or something. What was the deal? No, the radiation was lethal. That's what it was.
But it never got dark. Yeah. So it's odd that you associate it with, you know, the primal fear of the dark when it didn't get dark.
Yeah, but it seemed
too light to be it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it seemed dark. Why did that say that then? Why does that? See, that's
because
weird.
It's because it translates into the fear of the unknown being outside of your realm of experience, and that's usually in the dark.
In the dark, yeah. Wow. So, but yeah, that was, as far as like being scared, like really being scared, that was my quote-unquote behind the couch moment. I was really just like...
Behind the what?
Behind the couch moment.
Behind the what?
Behind the couch moment.
The what?
The couch.
The what?
The coach. What? The sofa?
That's better.
The sofa. God. Well, I always called it a couch. So.
No, it's a sofa.
Well. So, anywho, that was my favorite monster from the new series. As far as, like, classic series is concerned, you know, like we were saying, Dale, we were talking the other night, there's so many to choose from. There are so many good quality monsters, but when it comes to one that has all the elements of, like, story-wise, filmed correctly, edited nicely and properly, and just executed very spookily and exactly the way it's supposed to make it sound, you know.
Who's barking?
That was Leela barking. That was one of the puppies, but when it comes to that, nothing, and I'm saying nothing, beats the Daleks in Black and White with, like, Power of the Daleks. There's a scene from Power of the Daleks where the Daleks get all riled up and they're, like, you know, thinking they're going to go out into space and conquer everything and destroy and exterminate, and you're just thinking, these fuckers are crazy. And they're going to come and get you. You know, it really, I mean, I can imagine seeing that at a very young age. And the way it's filmed and the way it's executed is so precisely on target that it scares the hell out of you. And it's spooky to see. It's from, there's not all the episodes of Power of the Daleks available. But,
or,
you know,
or any of them.
Yeah, there's just that scene. And wow, is it spooky. So
tell me this, Lewis. Which doctor had the most scary monsters?
Which doctor had the most scary monsters? Mm-hmm. You mean scary to me, or just scary in general, or just the most monsters per doctor?
The most scary monsters for you.
God, for me, I would say Patrick Troughton. And, you know, and that's funny, because I haven't seen that many Patrick Troughton episodes. But the ones that I have seen have been so consistently good quality and something about the way they're done will suck me in every single time. And I don't know if it's the... I don't know if it's the fact that they're all black and white. I don't know if it's the fact that Patrick Troughton is such a wonderful character actor. He makes you believe that, you know, this is all really happening. Or what? There's something about it that's very magical about those black and white episodes. And particularly the Patrick Troughton years that makes everything in them so much more intense. So, and I think, and like, speaking of that, the Ice Warriors, I saw a scene with the Ice Warriors with, Jamie and Victoria, and, And the doctor is talking to this ice warrior on the screen. I think it's on the screen. And the voice and the grainy image of the ice warriors are just sort of it's spooky. And they're talking in a whisper. Yes, we will invade. You know, it's just that's not.
That sounded like a possessed cat.
they sound kind of like possessed cats.
No, they don't.
What do you think, Tara?
Doesn't scare me. Sorry.
Ice warriors, have to say, don't scare me in the slightest.
I'm gonna fall back on the conditioning thing. I mean, it all depends on what you grew up with.
I didn't grow up with that.
Well, whatever the fuck scared you as a child, we can trace it back to the ice warriors. Because apparently that's hitting something in your psyche that manages to push your buttons.
I think what it is that, you know, it's so easy for me to put myself in that mode of like, oh, okay, you're probably like 3 or 4 years old and you're watching this because you love Doctor Who and you gotta see Patrick Troughton, you gotta see Doctor Who every Saturday night. You gotta see it. That's what you're living for. And when you see something like that, like the Ice Warriors come on and they're whispering and you're thinking, why the hell are they whispering?
But then Zygons whispered.
Zygons whispered too. Yeah, that's right.
Another thing that scared me about Zygons.
Yeah. So what is that? What is that all about? There's an internal.
Well, it's a monster that doesn't shout. Therefore, it frightens you more because it's not patently obvious that the thing is ragingly angry and about to kill you, but it is.
Wow. So what do you think in Classic Who and New Who? What do you think really goes into making a very believable and a very scary kind of monster?
Well, you've got to have a common frame of reference. I mean, I think one of the main reasons why the new monsters are so petrifying is because Stephen Moffat is taking common themes, things that we have around the house, and making them petrifying.
Yeah.
And
makes the ordinary sinister, and that is something that can prey on a primal fear, be it an adult or a child's.
Exactly. But with the classic monsters, a lot of it was the fear of the unknown, the fear of shit coming from space, because you got to remember the context. You know, the early 60s and the early 70s, that was, you know, we were sending shit into space. Shit was coming down from space.
Yeah.
There was, you know, you never knew, you know, somebody might, you know, the whole concept of the Daleks was totally believable. You know, we're fighting with the Russians. Well, fuck, I can see us, you know, fighting with the Russians until we both turn into little.
Well, the other thing is, you don't know when the bomb is going to fall on you. And it could fall at that time. It could fall at any time.
I look at the 60s and the 70s, you know, as a time of space exploration, and a lot of people were thinking about, well, you know, what's out there. I mean, you look at the movies at the time. And that, you know, a lot of the scary monsters were coming from outer space, and it was fear of the unknown. And now it's fear of what's here.
Yeah, the focus has very much changed. I mean, Leela, you know, Leela's mostly new who, aren't you? So you have a very different perspective on Doctor Who from the way I see it. But I think it's probably, especially in this day and age, more valid than my view of Who, which is, you know, the old stuff was frightening for me. But because you've got that freshness view to it, so you're gonna get something that's scary where I'm gonna think, really? But I think your view is probably more valid as a result.
So
I'm not gonna say it's more valid. I think it's just, you know, times have changed, and what scares us now is different from what, you know, scared people back in the 60s and 70s.
I mean, what scared me most in the new series is Mickey.
Oh, God.
Oh, poor
guy. That sort of, it's the change in the characters, not necessarily, I mean, the Captain Jack, can you imagine Captain Jack in 70s Who?
Fuck no.
Exactly. No. It's the change.
He would have had the classic porn stash. He would have.
He would have looked like the Marlboro Man.
Yeah, but there you go.
Just going with this, but it's the change in the way we see ourselves that has led to the change we see in the Doctor or the Monsters or everything else in Who and Trek and every other sci-fi program. So there's a, and now they're reimagining everything. I mean, Who's done it with the Daleks and the Cybermen and the Silurians and all the rest of it. Trek's done it with various monsters. I mean, Trek had the Borg, didn't it? Which is basically a Cyberman ripoff.
Yes,
And the Cyberman is basically a ripoff of a Cybernaut from the Avengers. And the Cybernauts from the Avengers, literally, you can go right the way back to the False Maria in Metropolis, which is 1920s. Mm-hmm. So this whole thing has a running consciousness through history that's not just Doctor Who or not just Star Trek.
We could take it even further back to the Gollum.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the magical creature that is brought to life by a charm. It goes right the way back. So it's a running fear that humanity has.
The mutant.
So it's concepts and not necessarily realization.
Yeah, yeah. So you got to ask yourself, what's more scarier, the Dalek machine itself or the mutant inside?
Well, so. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of a little squiddy thing inside.
Yeah.
No, it's me.
But that little squiddy thing is awful mad and coming at you.
You might. Yeah. I'm sitting here.
Oh, not you, Dan. What's that?
What, Dan?
I found a copy of Mad magazine.
Oh, dear God.
From 1975.
Rockin'. Oh, dear God. Rockin'.
It's the one where they do Doctor Who. The Ark in Space.
Ah, cool.
And literally, this thing costs, what, 20p? Whoa. But there's the big comic strip at the back is a pastiche of the Ark in Space.
Yes.
And it's worth, at least 40p. But I've never actually bothered to take it out and read it.
Oh, nice.
So I did this afternoon.
And did you get a kick out of it?
No, I thought it was abysmal. But it's literally just, you know, these when you go through the cupboard, you think, do you know, I completely forgot I had that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the only Doctor Who version of Mad magazine they've ever done, with a Doctor Who cover and Alfred E. Newman coming out of one side of the TARDIS.
I love Alfred E. Newman. He's my hero.
It was
never seen this, Dale. I've never seen this.
I will take a photo of said item.
Please. I would love to see it.
So, in a related but separate subject,
what
we put out the Happy
Spastic Giraffes.
No.
Can I point out recently the scariest thing about Doctor Who has been this podcast
or podcast in general?
I don't know if I'd count that scary. I think we're back to spastic again.
Oh no, I think this thing has been really scary.
The Happiness Patrol on our Blogspot, we put out a recent poll. Now a lot of you guys have heard about David Tennant and Georgia Moffat. They're expecting a baby. So what we did is we put out a poll. Saying, hey, what do you expect? What do you think they're going to have, a boy or a girl? And the results are in, people.
They all think it's going to be a girl, and they all want it named Susan, right? 50,
oh, no, I don't know about that, but I can tell you this. 50,
the doctor's granddaughter.
You are exactly right. 57% of the voters said, yeah, we think it's going to be a girl, compared to only 42% that thought it was going to be a boy. So, I don't know. Who knows? We'll see. We'll have to wait and see. So, they probably already know if she's 5 months pregnant.
The frickin' hell did you put that on the blog spot for?
Oh, well, you always need a little poll. Right now. It does, you know.
Oh, please. So what we
got going on is Friday night at Galley. Friday night. We have the Friday night Happiness Patrol Time Crash Dance Party. So if anybody wants to come out and see members of the Happiness Patrol, Dale excluded, unfortunately.
It's probably going to exclude me too, dude. 11 o'clock? I'm sorry.
Oh, come on now. You're in a closer time zone to that than I am. So, you know, come on.
Yeah, I'm going to be having taking care of the TARDIS the whole fucking day. I tend to go up.
Tara, if he's planning this time crash dance thing, I would hide in the TARDIS and double lock the door.
So basically, it's a I call it time crash simply because it's going to coincide when the actual dance party is going to be there at Galley, and it's really cool. It's
so
really
if you don't
fun.
Want to look spastic with the real nerds.
You no, can with the real spastic. Yes, you can come up and hang out with the cool kids. So if you're there Friday night, 11 o'clock. That's Friday night, the 18th of February at the beautiful LAX Marriott for the Gallifrey 22 Doctor Who convention. Come on down. The Happiness Patrol would be they would love to dance with you. Leela might even dance with you if you're
I'm
nice.
Not dancing with anyone. The only one I'm dancing with is David. Thank you very fucking much.
Tara, Leela, have you both seen Angel, you know, the Buffy spinoff?
Yes.
I haven't, no.
Okay. Yes, I've seen Angel dance.
Okay, yeah, exactly. That's how I imagine Lewis dancing.
I think you're absolutely right.
No, I'm actually probably going to slip on my tuxedo and dance like the Doctor doing the spastic giraffe. Thanks, everybody, for joining us for another edition of the Happiness Patrol. You know, it's always great to...
Lewis.
Yes, Dale?
I like Doctor Who.
And if you like Doctor Who, make sure you tune in every week to the Happiness Patrol, because we're always bringing you some sort of damn news about Doctor Who, something like that. If not, what the hell else are we going to talk about? Yes, Dale?
I like Doctor Who.
So tune in to the Happiness Patrol every week. Anyway, if you can't get any, if you can't go a minute without any more of us wittering on about Doctor Who and all that kind of crap,
and I'm Doctor Who,
our very sad personal lives, make sure to join us at our blogspot. Leela, why don't you tell them how to get there?
You can check out our blog at thehappinesspatrol.blogspot.com and follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/thehpatrol.
We also have an email, right, Leela?
Yes, and that is the.happiness.patrol@gmail.com.
Yeah, so there you have it, right?
You can get us on iTunes under I Like Doctor Who.
So just Google I Like Doctor Who, and I'm sure you'll see the Happiness Patrol there. So until next week, I'm Lewis B.
I'm Tara W.
I'm Leela S.
I Like Doctor Who.
We'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Goodbye!
What Star Trek?
Nice.
This is Leela S., and you've been listening to the Happiness Patrol.
Today we were going to talk about monsters. I hope everybody got the email.
Tom Baker!
yeah, that's the old Lala Ward joke,
It was very funny when she first said it.
It was very funny when she first said it.
Monster. Ooh, Tom Baker. Brilliant.
I think I missed that clip. Is it on YouTube anywhere?
No.
No,
it was at a convention. She's done it. She goes to Galley next year. I'll bet you money she does it there, too. What the hell are they talking about? Uh-huh. Tara, what are they talking about? What the hell is this? What are they talking about?
You know what I need to take? I need to take Tara's advice and have Google open at all times. There we go.
I told you.
Zimmer.
God damn it. Yeah, you're supposed to be subtle about it, though, Lewis. That's the whole point.
Did you hear me talking? I mean, did you hear me type? Did you hear me type?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
But it sounded like the bass line.
I've got
Doctor Who.
Lewis.
I think so. Don't you think?
Lewis.
Yes?
Be quiet. There's a good boy.